This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, January 12th, 2011. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, The Poet as Whore. Poetry brothels are already old news. They were created a few years ago in New York, and even the local cable news channel did a piece on it. Surely one of the rare poetry features New York One has ever done.
For $15, people can attend the party, have a drink, and have a poet recite poetry for them, one-on-one. If you really want it, you can get some iambic pentameter, baby.
Such is the moral turpitude of our times that poetry brothels have begun to spread to cities around the country, including Chicago. I've never been, but I'm told the brothel is decked out with silk tapestries and velvet banquettes, and the music is late 19th century, early 20th. The Johns get a discount if they come in period garb, and the poetry whores may be in corsets or fishnet stockings. It all sounds rather embarrassing, and I am blushing as I speak because I have on the phone one of the whores, one Vivian Knightwood. Now, Vivian, I've never had a chance to ask a poet this before, but I've always wanted to. What are you wearing?
What am I wearing? Well, I'm wearing actually a long silk slip and then also sort of a vintage fur wrapper and a lot of costume jewelry.
Wow. So tell me a little bit about yourself. I don't feel like we can go straight into one of your poems without knowing you a little bit.
Well, I may or may not be the displaced heir of a textile fortune on the East Coast, and I may or may not have been supplanted by my wicked half-brother, and I may or may not spend my non-poetry writing time scheming about how to get him back.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what have you got for me?
Well, I have a poem that I thought I'd read called Some Notes on the Male Gaze, which seemed appropriate.
Yeah, it does. I'm told that I'm allowed to interrupt you at any point in the poem. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. That's the benefit of having a private reading, is right. You can sort of explicate the poem in real time.
Okay, so we're alone in a room. Nobody else is listening. Let's have it.
Some Notes on the Male Gaze. One needn't be male to administer the male gaze. One needn't even possess stereoscopic sight. One must, however, at the very least, have eyes. Is what we remember about ourselves what people remember about us? Do we live our lives toward our obituaries? I can't help reacting to the constant impertinence of your big, doe eyes. What separates us from the animals, if not lust, romance, or even devotion? 85% of psychologists agree excessive staring is thought to cause stupidity and sin. However, at least half of psychologists pursue psychology as a result of a mental imbalance.
That's true, right?
I sort of just made that up, but it sounded right.
It sounds true to me.
So let's say 85%.
That's probably higher.
Yeah, it's probably too generous.
Okay, carry on.
That and a desire for horizonless self-reflection. Both men and women prefer to look at naked women.
Is that true, too?
That's totally true.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's definitely not made up. Naked women prefer to look at sylvan scenes.
Uh-huh.
99% of gazes are eventually averted. The remaining 1% remain frozen that way forever. This is their own fault. I don't know where the heck the word gaze comes from, but it does not derive from the Latin meaning mirror. However, vanity and lust are at base the same impulse.
You think?
I think so.
Really? How so?
I think a lot of people, what they think they're looking for in others is what they want in themselves or most admire in themselves. So, yeah, I think vanity and lust go together. Do not resist the masquerade. Masks are available for rental. If you sit on the lawn and paint your nails, you look like a porno. It's better if the lawn's part dead. We can't allow you any photos. We can't allow you to admire us from afar. So knock off the open and unabated unmanly despair already. I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at you.
That's a funny poem. There's some great
Thank
lines
you.
In there. You are obviously a serious poet, and we have to unmask you now.
Yes.
Your real name is Kathleen Rooney, and you are not just a poetry whore. You are also a professor at DePaul University in Chicago and the author of several books. So I have to ask, how does a poet like you end up in a brothel?
I wasn't sure at first when I was invited to join that I wanted to. It sounded fun and I was intrigued, but I also wasn't sure how serious or how much of a focus there would be on poetry in the context of a poetry brothel. And I guess the way that I ended up going ahead and saying yes was, the more I looked into what the original New York brothel was doing, and the more I heard from Black Eyed Susan, who is the madam of the Chicago poetry brothel, the more I realized that poetry really is put front and center at the brothel. I am a serious poet, but I also like to be entertained as much as the next person. And so I like sort of the wit and the winking with which the poetry is delivered in this context.
You know what it sort of reminds me of a little bit is the new burlesque that's in various clubs in New York where it's a winking, ironic burlesque. It's part of that tradition, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. And I think part of it too is, I guess, it's definitely in the way that, you know, burlesque is smarter than just going to a strip club. You know, there's an extra layer of artifice and an extra layer of self-awareness. I think there's definitely that at the poetry brothel. It's sort of, not that regular poetry readings aren't great, but I think the heightened artifice and the heightened irony kind of creates more of an atmosphere. So even though the poems are ultimately the purpose, there's also this kind of showmanship.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, I would find the whole business all very embarrassing. I would just be blushing the entire time out. How would you put someone like me at ease?
For one thing, I think that's great that you'd be feeling embarrassed.
I would be very embarrassed.
Blushing. Yes. Just because it's better to get, I think any kind of strong reaction is better than no reaction. And I think part of what poetry is supposed to do is to make you feel strange or to make you feel outside of your comfort zone, not just poetry, but, you know, art, if I can make sort of like a lofty statement. You know, art should kind of displace you. But then I think you would be quickly put at ease because it's really not, you know, as much as we do sort of structure ourselves after a strip club and we do have real burlesque dancers there.
Really?
Yeah.
Now you're talking.
There's really not such an aggressively sexual element to the poets themselves. I guess the thing we emphasize is the erotics of the poem. As opposed to the erotics of the interpersonal interaction. So it's really, I think, after the first 10 seconds, you realize it's not anything to blush over.
Well, tell me about one or two of your tricks.
Yeah, the brothel I did in September, I had a really, really good encounter toward the end of the evening. There was this guy who had just, his name was Eric, I won't say his last name because I don't know it, and he doesn't know my name besides Vivian Knightwood, which is kind of fun. But yeah, he hadn't come for the poetry brothel. He didn't know what was going on. He was just there with a bunch of friends who were there to see a band. And he'd gotten bored with the band and sort of wandered in just to have a drink and then saw all these poetry whores and burlesque dancers. And there's, you know, vaudeville performers and comedians and musicians. And so he just sort of let himself get swept up in the atmosphere. And I was one of the people he asked to read him a poem. I did. And then afterwards, we just sort of got to talking. It turns out that he had actually studied for a while at DePaul and he had even taken a poetry class, but he ended up dropping out and he had gone into the army and he had served in Afghanistan and his life just hadn't gone the poetry route, but he turned out to be a great audience member. He had all these good questions. And I think the reason that's my sort of go-to poetry brothel anecdote is it sort of shows what it can do, that there's so many people who don't even know they like poetry or didn't even expect to encounter a poem. But then they do, and it turns out to kind of be the best part of their weekend.
I mean, how much would that poem you just read cost me?
$5.
That's not so bad.
It's reasonable.
That's like a beer.
It's totally reasonable. And also, and then a lot of people tip on top of the $5.
Really?
Which, yes.
So how much can you walk away with in a good evening?
In a good evening? Usually it's over $50. So, I mean, it's not, you know, a fortune, but it's a pretty good way to spend an evening. It's fun, and then to earn money on top of it seems, it's like the icing on the cake.
Okay, Kathleen Rooney.
Yes.
Now that you've been unmasked,
yes.
Can I get you to read one more poem?
Yes, sort of, I guess, fittingly with the unmasking, I'll read a poem called Elegy for the Self.
Yeah, and set it up a little bit for us. What's this one about?
Yeah, well, some more setup, just to, if it's not too many layers upon layers, the poems I usually read at the poetry brothel are poems by almost an alter ego. They're not my solo poems, but they're poems that I write with my collaborator, Elisa Gabbert, who's another poet who lives in Boston. And she's not in the brothel, but she knows I read these. So
this is a poem you co-wrote?
Yes, with Elisa Gabbert.
Okay. So, go ahead and give it a read.
Elegy for the Self. Looking back on my life, the color of my life would be called not fair, or and then you die. When I die, I want to be placed among the stars awkwardly, like a knick-knack, or at least not permanently. That sound is the ill wind. It blows. I will name my homesickness nostalgia of hatred. I preferred having enemies. I felt like they knew me. Knew me, at least, by the trappings of the living. The moth, the coat, the ghost downstairs.
The ghost downstairs is the self?
I think so. It's sort of, you know, the self or the selves that never quite were, the selves that might have been.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a poem about realizing that after you get to a certain age, possibilities start closing off. And despite what everyone told you about you can be whatever you want to be, you sort of can't be everything you might have wanted to be.
God, don't I know it.
Yeah. But at the Poetry Brothel, you get your alter ego, so you get to at least be one more person.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Kathleen.
Thanks, Curtis.
Kathleen Rooney, a.k.a. Vivian Nightwood, will be working at the Poetry Brothel at the House of Blues in Chicago on January 15th. You can read her piece on what it's like to work there on our website, poetryfoundation.org. Kathleen Rooney's latest book is a book of essays called For You, I Am Trilling These Songs, published by Counterpoint. Let us know what you think of this program, where our motto is...
I sort of just made that up, but it sounded right.
Email us at podcast@poetryfoundation.org. The theme music for this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.